Exodus, Chapter 6, Called of God. The miraculous deliverance of Moses in his infancy, the king's edict for his destruction being the means by which he was given a home in the royal palace, indicated that he was intended for no ordinary work. In the few years that he was with his mother, he learned the history of his people and God's promises to them, becoming imbued with her faith. And in later years, the word of the Lord came to him in the palace, just as it afterwards came to John in the wilderness, asking his mission known to him. So, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. But his faith and zeal were not fully instructed, and he did not know the way of the Lord. He thought himself competent for the task to which he was sure that God had appointed him, and he proceeded to deliver his brethren according to his own way, the way that would naturally command itself to the whole world. For in all ages men have been taught that whoever would be free must himself strike the blow. This is what is being taught today to men who are in some respects in similar circumstances to those Israelites. They were slaves, suffering under a most grinding monopoly. No other laborers have ever been so cruelly oppressed as they were. In our day, laborers, in far more favorable circumstances, are being encouraged by professed Christians to combine and strike together for freedom, to resist monopoly even with weapons. This was the plan that Moses tried, and it failed, as it will now, because it is not God's way. For 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep, Moses had an opportunity to unlearn some of the lessons that he had learned at court, and to learn some new ones. In the sheepfolds, the great shepherd made known his ways unto Moses. And at last, when his preliminary training was complete, God met him and gave him a very definite call. In the burning bush God appeared to him, and said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large. Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses was not nearly so anxious to go, now that he was really prepared for the work, as he was 40 years before. He demurred, and excused himself, pleading that he was not eloquent, and could not speak well. His lack of confidence in himself was admirable, but he should have taken note of the fact that God had said he himself had come down to deliver his people. Moses was to be only an instrument in God's hands, and though he himself could do nothing, God could do everything either with him or without him. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The way in which God appeared to Moses was an object lesson. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. A dry bush is a very inflammable thing, and our God is a consuming fire. Yet his presence in that combustible object preserved it. What an incentive to confidence in him! To every man his work. The same God lives today, and the same work remains to be done. For in that day the people could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore the Lord has set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And he calls, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Everyone who hears is commissioned to say, Come! For the Lord has given to every man his work. So has the Lord commanded us, saying, It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the world. But no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. God appointed John the Baptist, Jeremiah, and others who were specially prominent, for a definite work, even before they were born, but there came a time in their lives when he was ready for them to engage in it. If they had gone before the word of the Lord came definitely to them, their work would have been a failure. David was anointed king over Israel when he was a lad tending sheep, but it was years before God called him to the throne. So although God has given to every man his work, it is our privilege to know so definitely as did those men when it is the Lord's time for us to enter upon our special part of it. No one can tell how the call will come, but each one who has an ear to hear will recognize it when it does come. If it is a grave mistake for any man to neglect the call of God to the work, it is no less serious a matter for anyone to assume responsibilities to which God has not definitely called him, or to run ahead of the Lord. The ability to speak. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either heretofore, nor since you have spoken unto your servant, but I am slow of speech, and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. It is the Lord that has put into us the word of reconciliation, and we are to speak only with his words. God's word is the good seed that, though it be wrapped in never so many coverings, will surely at the appointed time burst through all its fetters and make itself known. When the time comes for it to be spoken, the children will proclaim it, if their elders are not ready, and if the children should hold their peace. The stones would cry out. None, therefore, who have received the word of the Lord, and who know definitely as Moses did in the wilderness that God has appeared to them and called them to proclaim his message, it may be in a very humble capacity, and a limited sphere, need fear that utterance will not be given them. The Lord's promise is, You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And how this can be fulfilled was shown on the day of Pentecost, when the company of believers, a people few and despised by the world, began to speak. As the Spirit gave them utterance, there was a time when the prophet Daniel saw a vision from God, and the sight of the heavenly visitant took away all his strength, made him dumb, and deprived him of breath, so that there was no breath left in him. Then the mighty one of God touched his mouth, and he began to speak, even while destitute of strength and breath. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, the hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. In this there is a lesson for us all, even though it be not our lot to proclaim God's message by word of mouth. Our part is simply to do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, and allow him to work in us both to will and to do, and to speak, if necessary, according to his good pleasure. E.J. Wagoner.